Good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Good to see you here on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Thankful for what God's done for us thus far today. If you have a copy of the Word of God, I invite you to turn with us in the Old Testament to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 6. We're going to be looking through chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8 at the life of a man by the name of Noah. Now, Noah is a very well-known individual within the Bible. Mentioned several times throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And I believe that he ought to be considered a hero of the faith. Amen. The Bible exclusively mentions him, the third individual, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we find that the record of his life recorded in chapter 6, 7, and 8 of the book of Genesis gives us some good direction, I believe, as to how we ought to live in the day and time in which we're in right now, in the year 2010. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, the right way in a wrong world. The right way in a wrong world. The Bible tells us, I'll stand. Genesis chapter number 6, if you found your place. Now I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse number 5, the book of Genesis. Genesis 6 and 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." You may be seated here this morning. The right way in a wrong world. I believe that God desires for us to walk in a certain way and in a certain manner. And we read those last few words in the text that we began with this morning there, for it says in verse 9, "And Noah walked with God." My friend, I believe that's God's desire for each and every one of us, is that we walk with God, that we walk in His path, that we walk in His steps. I believe that Noah had a hold of what that it teaches over there in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, where it says, "Trust in the Lord and lean not in thine own understanding, and He shall direct thy paths." I believe that he trusted in God. It's evident in the life in which that he lived. And I believe that God wants us to trust in Him more. I believe He wants us to never stop growing, wants us to never stop being committed unto Him, wants us to never become complacent, but He wants us to walk with Him and serve Him and do what we can for Him. I believe that we can live in the right way in the wrong world in which we live if we'll look at the life of Noah. Now, first of all, I want us to look this morning at the goodness of grace. The goodness of grace. Boy, I'm glad that our God's a gracious God, aren't you? I'm glad that He's a God of love and mercy and full of grace. Now, first of all, we look in verse 5 and we see the wretched state of this world in which we live. For the Bible there says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." I believe there's a lot of things in that day and time in which that Noah lived that are quite like the days and times in which we live in the year 2010. I believe that if Noah looked around himself, he probably saw immorality. He probably saw homosexuality. I believe as he looked around him, he saw people fornicating. He saw people living in drunkenness. He saw people desiring to allow themselves to be lifted high, allowing themselves to be made unto a god. And I believe that whenever God looked down upon the wickedness of man, I believe that it made him very sorrowful, for that's what the Bible teaches us. And my friend, as God looks down upon our world today, it's amazing how much murder there is. It's amazing how much robbery there is. It's amazing, my friend, at the rate of abortion that is going on in the land in which we live today. Oh, they say it's the home of the free. The land of the free and the home of the brave. But what about those millions of babies that never had the opportunity to experience it because they were aborted? My friend, I believe that as God looks down upon our nation, I believe he looks down upon it and considers it to be a very wicked place. He looks down upon this world. There's so much conflict. There's so much enmity. There's so much strife. There's so much hardship in this world in which we live. And the eternal root of it all is sin. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us there that God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Hey, I'll tell you what, sin doesn't necessarily start on the outside, but sin starts right on the inside of a person's heart. Hey, the Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. Hey, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, it's within each and every one of us to go against the grain of a holy God. Hey, it's within each and every one of our hearts and in each and every one of our minds to be contrary to what the Scripture says we ought to be. Hey, as God looked down upon the earth and He looked down upon that which He had made, that which He had formed out of the dust of the earth, that which He had breathed through the power of the Holy Ghost life into it, that we find there, the Bible says there, He looked down upon man, and He said that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Hey, I'll tell you what, that means that it was perpetually. It was constantly. I'll tell you what, hey, we can try to live the best that we can, but we can only get so far because I'll tell you what, the devil don't let up. The devil, he don't take a rest, amen. Hey, the devil don't take vacation. Hey, the devil doesn't say time out. I'm going to just ease up on you for just a little while. No, he knows exactly where you're weak. He knows exactly where he can get you off track. He knows exactly how to thwart the plan that God has for your life and the purpose to glorify Jesus. And the devil will do everything he can to intersect you. He'll do everything he can to interrupt the work of God in your life. And the Bible says there that the wickedness of men that was there, He says in the thoughts of his heart, was only evil. It was wicked. And He says that it was continual. And the Bible says in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth. And it grieved Him at His own heart. At the very center of the being of a holy God, the Bible says that God repented that He had even made man. Now, that word repent is not identical as to the New Testament word of repentance, but what it literally means is that God regretted that He had bought man, or that He had made man. He repented. He was sorrowful that He had made man. And the Bible says it grieved Him. That word grief means that it vexed Him. It made Him angry. It was intensely a sorrowful heart of a holy God. Now, sometimes we regret things. Hey, I tell you what, there's somebody here today who's probably regretted a car that you bought somewhere along the line. You've regretted a piece of merchandise that you have had somewhere along the line. Hey, you've regretted some relationships that you had in your life somewhere along the way. But I'll tell you what, the Bible, don't nudge on Misty, Kevin. God sees that. Caught him, didn't I? And I'll tell you what, sometimes we can be sorrowful for some things that we do. I don't believe Kevin's sorry. I believe he's being facetious this morning. But I'll tell you what, God looked down upon the weakness of man, and it says there that it repented Him. And I'll tell you what, God is a holy God. And the Bible tells us here that He didn't put up a foolishness. And the Bible says here that He was sorrowful in His heart. Hey, the Bible goes on to say there, and the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. He looked out across every man, every woman, every individual, but He saw that there was a line of individuals that He had His hand upon, and at the end of that lineage was a man by the name of Noah. And we find the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Hey, I'll tell you what, my friend. Hey, we are living in a wicked place today. But boy, I'm glad I found grace, aren't you? I'm glad that I found the unmerited favor of a holy God. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're saved today, my friend, it wasn't nothing you did. It wasn't nothing that you bought. It wasn't nothing that you earned. But it was God's favor being directed towards you that you're here today. Hey, I'm glad for the grace of a holy God. And I believe that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Now, we know that Noah was the son of Lamech, who was the son of Methuselah, who was the son of Enoch. And the Bible teaches us that Enoch was a man that walked with God. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's something to be said for family heritage, amen. Hey, there's something being said for caring about your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren that you want to teach them about God, and you want to teach them about holy living, and you want to teach them about the things of this world and how wicked they are. But boy, there's a God in heaven that's alive and well, and it's waiting to do great work in your life. Hey, we can live the right way in a wrong world by the goodness of the grace of a holy God. I'm thankful for His grace this morning. Look with me over in the book of James right quick. And I want to teach us, I want to see what the Bible has to say unto us this morning just real quick about grace. James chapter number 4 in the New Testament. The Bible teaches us in James chapter number 4 along verse number 6 of James chapter number 4. The Bible says, "But He giveth more grace." Well, I'm glad that God is a God of grace. And His grace is good. Amen. Hey, the Bible teaches us that He giveth more grace. Hey, I'm glad to say that there is standard grace. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a man up above you that's as wicked as all get out. There's a woman that lives down below you that's just ornery and contrary. Hey, there's some youngins that run your neighborhood and the hills around your home that have a heart of the devil. Hey, they're mischief. They're wicked and they're evil. But I'll tell you what, they had a roof over their head this morning. They had shoes on their feet today. They've got food in their cupboard. It ain't because of anything they've done, but it's because we have a God that is gracious unto the just and the unjust. Amen. Hey, we've got a God that's good unto everybody all the time, whether they want to recognize it or not. Our God is full of grace. Hey, I'll tell you what, before I came to a place in my life that I acknowledged Jesus as Lord, God was gracious unto me because He allowed me to live long enough to come to an understanding of the truth. Allow me to live long enough to hear good preaching and to have the Holy Ghost be a witness unto my heart. Hey, God's good and His grace is standard. But I'm glad for saving grace, aren't you? I'm glad that God comes along and nudges our hearts and allows us to know what's right and that we can be saved by His mercy and His grace. I want to tell you what, Noah wasn't saved no different than you and I. Hey, it's got to take grace and it's got to take faith in order for a person to be able to receive the unmerited favor of saving knowledge. I'm glad for what God has done for us. Hey, there's standard grace. There's saving grace. God giveth more grace. There's sanctifying grace. I'm glad that after we get saved that God can get the devil out of us and He can get Jesus into us by His grace. And I'm glad for sustaining grace. I'm glad that God can give strength. Amen. I'm glad God can give power. I'm glad God can give ability. So you say, what do you got to say about grace, my friend? Hey, I'm thankful that God giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Hey, you've got to be lowly to receive the grace of an almighty God. But His grace is there for you. And His grace is there for this church. And His grace is there for your family. Hey, God's grace is here for the United States of America in the year 2010. If we'll humble ourselves unto Him. Hey, the Bible says there, He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Hey, that submit right there, it speaks of somebody that lines up under His authority. As a soldier in the army, they line up. As a citizen of the country, we line up. As a child under the parent, hey, they ought to line up under that authority. They ought to submit themselves unto them. bad thing about it is we got a lot of homes in America in which the children are running the show, in which the children are calling the shots. I want to tell you what, we need to get back to the basics of the Bible and let mamas and daddies be the authoritative figures within the home. Hey, the Bible says there, He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. He says, resist the devil. Hey, that word resist means to stand up against him. Hey, there ain't no middle ground with the evil one. Hey, there ain't no middle ground as to where you're going to walk in this old world. Hey, you either got to be for Jesus or you're against him. Hey, you either got to be sold out unto him or you're going to live for the devil. Hey, there ain't no way to straddle the fence and to be a victorious Christian. There's no way to walk in the middle of the road and have victory in this wicked world. Hey, you got to be on the right side. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us there, He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then He says in verse 8, draw nigh to God. Hey, God's wanting to give grace unto you and I. God, hey, Noah found grace in his eyes. Why? Because he drawed nigh to the precious sight of God. Hey, to draw nigh, as it's described there, means literally to pursue a loving communion with a holy God. Amen. Hey, we got to pursue Him. Hey, He's extended His invitation of grace unto you and I. He's allowed us to be here today. So what do we ought to do? We just need to walk closer to Him. Just need to snuggle up next to Him. Hey, get close unto God. You can't do that if you're proud and you're lofty and you're it. No, you got to humble yourself and lower yourself. And God's willing to give grace. Hey, the Bible says there, and He'll draw nigh to you. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Amen. Hey, there needs to be some confession of the outward sin that's in our life if we're going to be able to receive grace from God. Amen. Hey, you got to cleanse your hands. You got to get the outside cleaned up. You've got to say, God, I'm willing to confess these wrongs and these deeds that I've done that everybody needs to know about because it's a public sin. And the Bible says there, He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And then He says, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hey, you get the outside confessed. You also need to confess the inward sins that are in your heart. Now, if it's something between you and God and only He knows about it, we all don't need to know your dirty laundry. Amen. I don't need to know all the wicked thoughts and intents of your heart. You don't need to know all the wicked thoughts and intents of my heart. Hey, that's something I got to confess unto a holy God. But if you've got public sin, you need to confess it publicly. If you've got private sin, you need to confess that unto God, and you need to get yourself cleansed. He said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He says in verse 9, be afflicted and mourn. Amen. Hey, when's the last time you grieved over the sin that's in your life? When's the last time that you were under a heavy burden and acknowledged that you had sin? That word afflicted there means broken over sin. When's the last time that you allowed yourself to be broken and mourn? To mourn there is an inner response to the brokenness that's on the outside. Hey, grieve on the outside because you're grieving on the inside because you're separated from a holy God because of sin. And I'll tell you what, there's the goodness of grace that God will meet your need. Amen. But we got to get ourselves right with God. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Hey, we need to acknowledge our sin. Quit playing with God. Quit playing in the house of God. Quit playing church and sell out unto God and because God's goodness is there and it's available unto you and I. His grace is there. Hey, look what it says in verse 10. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Hey, I'll tell you what, that's exactly what He did for a man by the name of Noah. Noah was in a wicked place. Noah was in a bad place. But I'll tell you what the Bible says there, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He received the unmerited favor from a holy God. Now we see that he had been taught right. Amen. We ought to desire to teach our children right. Just as Lamech had been taught by Methuselah, and Methuselah had been taught by Enoch, so Noah had received the goodness of the knowledge of God's grace, and therefore he acted upon it. He looked unto God, and he received grace. And the Bible says in verse 9 that Noah was a just man and perfect
in his generations. Now, hey, there's no sinless person that's ever walked the face of the earth except the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Born of a virgin, Holy Ghost conceived, at birth there and clean from the time that he was conceived unto the time that he died, and he was clean when he was placed in the grave. He is pure when he arose from the dead. And my friend, he's before God today, seated at his right hand, the perfect, spotless, sinless, darling son of a holy God. And my friend, but the Bible says here that Noah was a man that was a just man. That just speaks of his righteousness. Hey, do you know how he got righteous? It's because he placed his faith in a holy God, that God was going to provide a way. And my friend, I want to tell you what that way was: the darling son, Jesus, allowed himself to be hung upon Calvary. And my friend, I want to tell you what. Hey, there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. The only way that Noah received righteousness, the only way that Noah became a just man, was because he placed his faith in the finished work of Jesus. He looked ahead unto Calvary. My friend, I'm glad today we can look back unto Calvary. We can see what Jesus did for us. Hey, it's the goodness of grace that's going to help us to live right in a wrong world. Hey, the Bible tells us here that he was a man. The Bible says that he was a just man and he was perfect in his generations. That perfect means that he was a man of integrity and that he was a man of truth. And I'll tell you what, my friend, we need to look to this Bible. It's the only thing that's going to give us the unadulterated truth from a holy God that's going to help us to live right in this world in which we live. That's why we need to have study. That's why we need to have Sunday school. That's why we need to have preaching. That's why we need to have daily devotion. That's why we need to pass on the traditions of our faith unto our children and your grandchildren. Hey, if I live long enough, maybe I'll have some one day that I can pass this on to. My friend, because I received it from those that were before me. My friend, it's only by the goodness of grace that we're able to live the right way in a wrong world. Hey, the Bible says there that he walked with God. He was like his forefathers of faith. He said, I'm going to walk like them. My friend, we need some men of God to stand up and say, I'm going to sell out to God just like Noah. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it on my own. But by the goodness of God's grace, I can stick by Him. I can be sustained by Him. I can be strengthened by Him. And I can be an example unto my children. I can be an example unto others in the community. I can be examples unto others in the church. Hey, they'll say, I want to walk like Him. I want to talk like Him. I want to be like Him. Amen. Hey, we need to put something in those that are coming up along underneath us that's going to allow them to see, hey, this is real and it's going to work no matter what the world might say, no matter what the devil might say, no matter what the world's doing. Hey, Noah stuck with God. Everybody else was just doing whatever they wanted to do, the wickedness of their hearts, but Noah stuck by God. Hey, we can live the right way in a wrong world by the goodness of God's grace. We can also live the right way in a wrong world by the sacrifices in service. Sacrifices in service. Now, I want you to look with me over at the end of chapter number 6. Very last verse there in chapter number 6 and verse 22. The Bible says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Hey, Moses, from the time that he was a recipient of God's grace until the time that he departed from this world, he said, I'm going to commit myself unto God's service. I'm going to be one that's going to make a difference. Hey, you cannot make a difference in other individuals' lives if you're not willing to sacrifice your own. You cannot be something that somebody else can look unto unless you're willing to give up of yourself and say, hey, I'm going to do what God is bidding me to do, and I'm going to serve Him. Now, can you imagine what that Noah thought whenever he heard what God's plan was? Can you imagine what it, well, we know what everybody else thought. They thought Noah was crazy. They thought Noah, hey, he's out of his mind. What's he talking about? Rain. What's he talking about? That there's going to be devastation and flood. What is this man talking about? Hey, they lived in a perfect environment. I'd say that it'd probably be perfect for me if I lived. Hey, don't you like it? Whenever it's about 78 high, about 58 low, about 65% humidity. Well, that sounds like a good type place to live. Brian might say it'd be better if it was about 85. But I'll tell you what, that's perfect. Hey, I'll tell you what, the world was a perfect place to live in the day and time up until the flood. Hey, they didn't have to hurt for nothing, didn't have to want for nothing. Hey, it was just like that they lived in a big old greenhouse. It was perfect. But I'll tell you what, God said there's going to come an end to this thing. There's going to come an end to this. Hey, He numbered the days of men to 120 years. He said there won't be no more long living after you, Noah. Won't be no more long living after your family and your generations. And God made a commitment to destroy all of mankind. Look with me in verse number 3. The Bible says there, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And the Bible tells us in chapter 6, verse 10, all the way through 21, what God committed Himself to do, that He was going to command old Noah to build an ark. Now, He gave him those directions there. Gave him those directions in verse number 14. He said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." He said, "Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch them within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Now, a cubit is about 18 inches. And that divided out unto us tells us it's about 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, 45 foot tall, about three different levels, about 1.4 million cubic feet inside. They say that you could probably put 522 standard rail cars within this ark in which that Moses made. I'm talking 1.5 football fields. Hey, I'll tell you what, it is a big old ship, amen. And everybody's looking at Noah and saying, "Noah, what are you doing? What are you wasting your time for down yonder building that big old ship? Hey, you went and cut down every piece of gopher wood around here. Hey, you've had it hewn and sawed. Hey, you're out there, you're building it, you're constructing it. Hey, you're layering it with pitch on the inside and the outside. I believe you've lost your mind, Noah. I believe you're just a kook." And that's what a lot of people say unto you and I when we sell out unto a holy God. Amen. World looks at you like you're crazy. What are you talking about giving 10% of your tithe and 10% of your income unto a church? What are you going to do that for? You could have a bass boat. You could have a brand new truck. You can do all types of things. But what are you going to give it to God for? Why do you want to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Hey, do you not know that they have the best sales, blue light specials down at Kmart at 11:05 on Sunday morning? Well, you ought to be down here in the kitchen. Hey, this world looks at us like we're a bunch of holy rollers, a bunch of Jesus freaks. But I'll tell you what, if you'll sell out unto Jesus, He'll bless you. If you'll give of yourself unto Him, He'll bless you. Hey, the only way you can do that is to adhere to God's plan. What's God's plan for your life? Hey, I can't tell you other than the fact you ought to live holy. You ought to walk by Him and find out what it is that God's calling you to do. God didn't call everybody to build an ark. God didn't call everybody to preach. God didn't call everybody to sing. God didn't call everybody to clean. God didn't call everybody to be a deacon. But God called everybody to do something for the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ, that others might receive saving knowledge, that others might be able to get on board. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, Noah stuck to the plan. Noah built the ark. Noah afterward abided within the ark. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, I ain't going to go through every little detail, but I will tell you this, that if you'll get on board with Jesus, if you'll allow Him to be your ark, no matter what storm might rise, no matter what wave might toss, no matter what might come your way or my way, hey, if you're in the ark, praise God, you're able to be in service unto Him. My friend, God will bless you. And I'll tell you what, I believe He said, get in that ark. Get in that ark that I'm building, that you're building, that I'm telling you to get in. I don't know about these folks that jump ship and they say, "Well, I don't want to be a part of the church no more." I'll tell you what, you ain't going to survive the storm if you're not within the ark. Amen. And I believe that God will bless the universal church. And as God looks down upon this world, He can see who's true and who's false. He can see who's bought with the blood and who's being a hypocrite. But I'll tell you what, I don't believe that God desired to work through any other individual or any other being than the local church. Amen. God knows who's saved and who ain't. But God called you to work through the ark. Stay in the ark. Stay in the local church. I'm not trying to typify everything this morning, but God, I believe God laid that upon my heart to say, God don't want us to jump from one ship to the next ship to the next ship to the next ship trying to find our place of service. No, God said, find you a place and settle down and get on board and start serving a holy God. Hey, you'll be able to live the right way in the wrong world if you'll do that. Went and heard the McCamey's there last week. And I'm not putting down singing news, but man got up there and he said, you can get you one of these calendars. And we've got singings all across the land. There's a lot of people take their RV and they go from singing to singing to singing. And you can do that if you'd like. And he said that right there. I got to think about that. Hey, I don't find nowhere in the Bible that it tells me that I'm to be a diesel sniffer. Amen. Hey, it says that there's a position of pastor, an evangelist, a missionary. Hey, I believe the only reason you ought to go from place to place is if you're called to be an evangelist or a missionary. Otherwise, you need to plant yourself in a place in which you can grow, in which you can be fed, in which your family can find stability, in which you can serve the mind high God. My friend, we ought to be about His business. The Lord just laid that on my heart there. The Bible says there, I believe that He teaches there's sacrifices in service when we stick to God's plan, when we stay in God's power. Amen. Hey, Noah didn't do this upon his own. No, there's no way that Noah could have kept persevering in the day and time in which he lived under his own power. No, he had to have been tapped into a higher resource. Amen. I believe that as he was building that ship, others walked by and they called him names. They told him he was a loon. They told him that he had lost his marbles. They looked at him, probably gave him every reason as to why that he shouldn't be doing what that he was doing. But hey, he stuck to his plan. He abided and he drawed from that power from the Most High God. Hey, the Bible tells us over there in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hey, he done that through the power of the Most High God. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I believe that as old Noah was out there and he's a driving them nails and he's allowing that thing to be built up, I believe he began to talk about how that men were sinful and how that they were wicked and how the only way that they was going to survive the coming judgment of a holy God was to get in the ark. Hey, the only way that we can be who we need to be in serving the Most High God is to stick to God's plan and His purpose for our life and draw with His power and tell others that Jesus Christ is the only way they're going to make it through this whole world. Hey, you got to get in His ship. Hey, you got to get covered with His pitch. Amen. Hey, you need to be a part of the blood-bought congregation of a holy God. Hey, you need to place your faith and trust in Jesus. Hey, you need to acknowledge you're a sinner. Your sin separates you from God because He's holy and perfect and pure. But He made a way that you can find grace. And it's by placing your faith and trust, believing in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I believe that He probably made a lot of folks mad because He preached to them. There's a lot of folks, you might get mad at me today after I left here, Kevin. I can already tell Kevin's hard feelings against me because I called him out a little while ago. Just teasing, brother. God's good, amen. But God, He expects us to sacrifice of ourselves in serving Him. And Noah sacrificed of himself and served the Most High God. The Bible says in verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Have we done all that God's commanded us to do? Hey, the only way that we can live perfectly right in this old wicked, wrong world is to do what God's asked to do. Hey, he did it by sticking to God's plan, by abiding in God's power, and unto God's pleasing. Do you realize that I don't have anybody on this earth to please at this moment in time in history than a holy God? I mean, I really don't have to please my wife through my preaching, but I need to please Jesus. I don't have to please the deacons of this church through my preaching, but I need to please Jesus. I don't need to please nobody on this side of eternity. I just need to worry about pleasing Jesus. And my friend, there's so many times that God, hey, you hinder yourself and you limit yourself. We limit ourselves because we're looking at what so-and-so might think of us. Hey, I wonder if they're going to think highly of us if we tell them that they're a sinner and they're going to die and go to a devil's hell if they don't get their life straightened out. And we worry more about that than whether they go to heaven or hell. My friend, Noah didn't care. He said, I'm on God's plan, I'm in God's power, and I'm up to God's pleasing. That's how he's the only one we've got to please. Hey, the Bible says there that Noah did. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. So we see, to live the right way in a wrong world, we have to have the goodness of grace. We have to have the sacrifices in service. But we also need to have the willingness to worship. Look with me in chapter number 8, and verse number 20. After the floods came, the waters raised high, Noah did everything that God had commanded him to do. He got all the unclean beasts, two by two, all the clean animals by seven pairs. He stuck all of them in the ark. They've abided within that ark for over a year, 1 year and 10 days, 375 days. They abided within that ark. We read through the text how that he sent out the raven and it came back. He sent out the dove and it came back. He sent out the dove one more time and it never did come back. Hey, that big old ark is resting there upon the mountains of Ararat. And old Noah has abided within that ark and he stayed within that ark, him and his wife and his three sons and their three wives and all the animals that are there. But the Bible says there in verse number 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. God had given him assurance, it's all right to come out. Everything's okay. And the first thing that Noah did, it wasn't run down yonder and tell everybody what God had done. He said, I'm going to set myself aside and I'm going to build an altar. And the Bible says there that Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Hey, God had a purpose in allowing them seven pairs of clean animals to go because He wanted them to be presented unto Him. And my friend Noah didn't go down yonder. I don't believe Noah went down yonder by himself. Amen. I believe he took his wife by his hand. He took his children by their hands. He brought them all there and they worshiped together as a family. Now, I know sometimes we're limited in that. But I'll tell you what, you need to pray that God will allow you to always worship Him as a family. And allow yourselves to have the willingness to worship. Hey, Noah led his family to worship. Amen? Men, Noah led his family to worship. That's what God's called us to do as men, is to lead our families unto worship. And the Bible says there that he did that and he built that altar. Now the altar, my friend, was a place of sacrifice. It symbolizes total dedication to the Lord. First of all, with his life. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. Amen. God wants you to be sacrificial. Hey, the sacrifices and service and the willingness to worship always go hand in hand. Amen. I don't believe we can be serving God fully and not worship Him. I don't believe we can truly worship Him if we're not living sacrificially before Him. So it goes hand in hand. Hey, what allowed and gave Noah the ability to worship was because he had first of all gave sacrifice unto Him. And then he wanted to give Him more sacrifice. I'll tell you what, we ought to never get tired of worshiping God. Ought to never become stiff in the house of God. But I believe that Noah worshiped there, and look what the Bible says in verse number 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. God will honor you if you'll live for Him. If you'll serve Him, if you'll sacrifice for Him. Now, God doesn't say give me everything. He just requires a certain amount. He requires a certain amount of our time, a certain amount of our tithes, a certain amount of our talents. God requires a certain amount of us. And He wants us to give that unto Him. And whenever we do, we can worship Him. And the Bible says there, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. That smelling speaks of anticipating, enjoying. That sweet speaks of a restful, pleasant, peaceful, delightful savor or odor. Now, we grilled a couple of steaks there the other day. And they were on sale at Bilo's as New York strips. And they were pretty good. But it wasn't quite as good as that ribeye, you know. You get that ribeye on there, and something, just something about that fat that just runs all over that grill and just causes that aroma to just boil up. And some of you are getting hungry, ain't you? Thinking about the smell. Some folks like to smell chicken. Boys, sometimes you can go someplace, you can smell fried chicken going for miles and miles. And I'm a Baptist preacher, so I know all about that. Amen? And so there's just something about the smell. But I'll tell you what, whenever Noah placed that sacrifice upon that altar, it was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And my friend, our lives give off an aroma, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Our life gives off an odor. And my friend, it's my desire to have a sweet-smelling odor. Sometimes I'd say that God looks down upon me and He's, smell too good to Him. Need to get a little better sacrifice. God might be smelling upon our house this morning. God's nostrils might be right above us right now. And if God is above us and He's scenting and smelling of us, what does He smell? Is it a sweet-smelling savor that's delightful to His nostrils? Or does it make Him repent and be regretful and sorrowful? I'll tell you what, God, there's a lot to be said about that. Amen? Hey, we can live the right way in a wrong world if we'll adhere to the goodness of grace, the sacrifice and service, the willingness to worship. Amen? Hey, we've got to be wanting to worship Him. Because you know what? There's another judgment coming. God made a covenant. He said, I'll never judge this world again by flood. But the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, He says there in verse 6, says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. If you've never been saved by God's grace through faith, there's judgment coming. Judgment day's coming. And you'll have to receive the condemnation from a holy God because you rejected Jesus, pushed aside the goodness of grace. But if you're here today and you say, preacher, I know I'm saved, I've accepted His grace, I believe in Him, I've trusted in Him, I've acknowledged Him, my friend, God is smelling right now. What's your sacrifice like? What's your life like? Now, I won't be able to stand at that judgment seat of Christ and be able to look down upon me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Might not have done it all right all the time, but for the most part, overall, you lived your life for God. How about you? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.